devotees. All glories to the Sema devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gaurang Glory Srila Prabhupada. So whenever people tell me that, you know, I'm busy, I said, well, it's better to be busy than to be bored. But best is to be busy in Krishna service all the time. So there's always work to be done in Krishna service. And one of the prime responsibilities or duties that we have is to make people understand, or at least appreciate, start to appreciate, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is not just a bunch of stories. To this day, many, many so-called scholars still think and these are just stories that some, you know, guys sitting around with nothing to do, they just dreamt up these things and wrote them down, and maybe 1,500 years ago, and maybe a little later, but not as old as some people seem to think, that these stories are from millions of years ago, and that they're not really stories, that are actual fact. So you have to look into your own heart. Do you accept these as actual factual things? We're going to hear very, very far out past time today, the appearance of Bhagavan Varahadev, Ki Jai. So are we going to accept this as just some, you know, mind candy? Some guys sitting around just, you know, maybe they got a little high on these betel nuts and things that they used to chew back then, and they just kind of, you know, wrote these things down. And or we're going to actually get into it and realize that this is fact. So this is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Srila Prabhupada didn't present this as just some stories. It's funny, if you listen to Srila Prabhupada recite the, you know, Jayadeva Goswami's Dashavatar Stotra, he really gets into each verse. When he's saying Keshavadrita Meena Sharira, you know, talking about Matsyavatar, he just visualizes Matsya. And then when he's speaking Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa today, Varaha, although sometimes Prabhupada says Keshavadrita Varaha Rupa. But you really feel that Prabhupada is really experiencing this connection with each avatar as he's singing that song. So this is our opportunity today to really get into this pastime and feel the presence of Lord Varaha. So earlier in the third canto, there was a summary description of this pastime. But now in the later chapters, we're going to find that we go into it in more detail. So I'm going to recite just the English for most of them, and then we'll get to this verse which is on the board. We'll recite that together, and then I'll finish the rest of the chapter. The previous chapter, which was entitled The Victory of Hiranyaksha Over All the Directions of the Universe, in that chapter, it was described how these two great demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, were implanted in the womb of Diti. And immediately upon that pregnancy occurring, the entire universe went dark. It's just like we're sitting here now, and if all of a sudden it was just pitch black, you'd be freaking out, wouldn't you? I mean, it's supposed to be daytime, we have electric lights, and if all of a sudden everything went pitch black, you would be freaking out. You're at least wondering, what is going on? What happened to the sun? What happened to the lights? So that's what happened. The demigods even were wondering, because they control the light and the air and all that. And all of a sudden, the whole place goes dark, so you feel helpless. I'm supposed to be in control of the lights here, and nothing's working. So that's what happened. So they all went to Lord Brahma to find out what was going on. And it was explained that these, you know, the Lord will come and take care of the situation eventually. Just be patient. And upon the birth of these two great demons, very inauspicious signs were observed everywhere. Now, this is another thing that people think is just, you know, again, old folks' tales. You know, if you talk to a modern scientist, they think, you know, when you talk about auspicious and inauspicious signs, they think that these are just, you know, imagination. People just, dark ages, they were afraid of everything because they didn't know anything. So, you know, if they saw a cat cross this way, or if they saw, you know, some so-called inauspicious sign, they would be afraid. But we're not afraid of anything because we know what's going on. But that's not what's stated here in the Bhagavatam. There are auspicious and inauspicious signs. So when these two demons took birth, there were all kinds of inauspicious signs all over the universe. You know, like the asses braying and running, and the birds were shrieking, and just all kinds of things were happening. All kinds of inauspicious signs. The inauspicious planets, you know, like Saturn, they became prominent. And the more auspicious planets, like Venus, they became less prominent. I mean, all kinds of havoc was going on everywhere. So those who know how to read signs, they realize something heavy is going to happen here. And sure enough, these two demons took birth. Another interesting fact about that, their appearance is that Prabhupada explains in detail in one purport there how, although Hiranyaksha was born first and Hiranyakashipu came out of the womb second, according to the Vedic conception, and there is a particular shastra that deals with the science. Prabhupada gives a name there, forget the name of it, starts with an S. Anyway, that particular shastra deals with the science of birth. And it's explained in that shastra that when the woman becomes impregnated and has twins, the one that comes out second was the one that was actually first implanted and therefore is considered to be elder. So even though Hiranyaksha came out first, he was considered to be the junior of the twins. And so he always looked up to his elder brother Hiranyakashipu. And as you know, Hiranyaksha, in the mood of supporting his elder brother, he went all over the universe and created a lot of mischief and havoc and always wanted to fight, itching for a fight. So finally he went deep in the ocean and he went to the abode of Varuna, who is the god of the waters, and he, in a mocking way, paid his obeisances and called him Lord, saying, I want to fight you. So Varuna declined. He said, we are old at this point and we are not into battle anymore. But don't worry, you will find a worthy adversary pretty soon and he will lay waste to you. So this is the point now when he heard that Vishnu, because these two demons, as you know, they were born in a mood of enmity towards the Lord from the very beginning. So most of us conditioned souls, we're just oblivious of God's existence, even if we pay lip service. Yeah, there may be, or yes, I believe, but we don't. We're just, as long as he stays kind of out of the picture, it's all right. But these two were not satisfied just to be oblivious of God's existence. They were inimical. So we're just going to read, starting with text 1. This is the third canto, chapter 18, which is entitled A Battle Between Lord Boar and the Demon Hiranyaksha. Maitreya continued, the proud and falsely glorious Daitya. Daitya means son of Diti. There's Aditi, the mother of the demigods, and Diti, the mother of the demons. Same father, Kashyapa Muni. So the offspring of Diti, they're known as Daityas. The proud and falsely glorious Daitya paid little heed to the words of Varuna. O dear Vidura, he learned from Narada the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and hurriedly betook himself to the depths of the ocean. Text 2. He saw there the all-powerful Personality of Godhead in his boar incarnation, bearing the earth upward on the ends of his tusks and robbing him of his splendor with his reddish eyes. The demon laughed, oh, an amphibious beast. Text number 3. The demon addressed the Lord, O best of the demigods, dressed in the form of a boar, just hear me. This earth is entrusted to us, the inhabitants of the lower regions, and you cannot take it from my presence and not be hurt by me. So just see the depth of enmity. Can you imagine threatening God? if somebody threatens us, we're just ordinary people. We feel Where is this person coming from? Imagine to be so bold and so full of anger that you want to threaten God. This is the nature of the demons. Text 4. You rascal, you have been nourished by our enemies to kill us, and you have killed some demons by remaining invisible. O fool, your power is only mystic, so today I shall enliven my kinsmen by killing you. Again, really over-the-top anger here. So then we come to the verse that's on the board. Toyi sang stite garaya shir na shir shani. Asmad bhaja chutaya ye chatubhyam. Baling haranti rishayo ye chadeva. Swayang sarve navavishyantamula. Toyi sangstite garaya shirna shirshani. Asmad bhaja chutaya ye chatubhyam. Baling haranti rishayo ye chadeva. Swayang sarve navavashishyantyamula. Twayi sangstite garaya shirna shirshani. Asmad bhaja chutaya ye chatubhyam. Baling haranti rishayo ye chadeva. Swayang sarve navavashyantyamula. Please chant. Sarvena bhavishyantyam ulaha. Tvayi sangstite garaya shirna shirshani. Asmad bhuja chutaya ye chatubhyam. Baling haranti rishayo ye chadeva. Swayang sarve na bhavishyantyamulaha. Tvayi sangstite garaya shirna shirshani. Asmad bhaja chutaya ye chatubhyam. Baling haranti rishayo ye chadeva. Swayang sarve na bhavishyantyamuna. Vaishnavis? Tvayi sangstite garaya shirna shirshani. Asmad bhuja chutaya ye chatubhyam. Baling haranti rishayo ye chadeva. Swayang sarve na bhavishyantyamula. Okay, Twayi, when you, sangstite, are killed, garaya, by the mace, shirna, smashed, shirshani, skull, asmat bhuja, from my hand, chutaya, released. Yay. Those who. Cha. And. Tubhyam. To you. Balim. Presentations. Haranti. Offer. Rishayaha. Sages. Yay. Those who. Cha. And. Devaha. demigods, Swayam, automatically, Sarve, all, Na, not, Bhavishyanti, will exist, Amulaha, without roots. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The demon continued, when you fall dead with your skull smashed by the mace hurled by my arms, the demigods and sages who offer you oblations and sacrifice in devotional service will also automatically cease to exist, like trees without roots. Purport. Demons are very much disturbed when devotees worship the Lord in the prescribed ways recommended in the scriptures. In the Vedic scriptures, the neophyte devotees are advised to engage in 9 kinds of devotional service, such as to hear and chant the holy name of God, to remember Him always, to chant on beads, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, to worship the Lord in the form of His deity incarnation in the temples, and to engage in various activities of Krishna consciousness to increase the number of godly persons for perfect peace in the world. So this is another peace formula Prabhupada is giving. Everybody wants peace, peace, peace. You want peace? Increase the number of godly persons in the world. Because if you keep just increasing more and more demons, of course you're going to have a demoniac society. Prabhupada continues, demons do not like such activity. They are always envious of God and His devotees. Their propaganda not to worship in the temple or church, but simply to make material advancement for satisfaction of the senses, is always current. The demon Hiranyaksha, upon seeing the Lord face to face, wanted to make a permanent solution by killing the personality of Godhead with his powerful mace. The example of an uprooted tree mentioned here by the demon is very significant. Devotees accept that God is the root of everything. Their example is that just as the stomach is the source of energy of all the limbs of the body, God is the original source of all energy manifested in the material and the spiritual worlds. Therefore, as supplying food to the stomach is the process to satisfy all the limbs of the body, Krishna consciousness or developing love of Krishna is the sublime method for satisfying the source of all happiness. The demon wants to uproot the source, because if the root, God, were to be checked, the activities of the Lord and the devotees would automatically stop. The demon would be very much satisfied by such a situation in society. Demons are always anxious to have a godless society for their sense gratification. According to Sridhar Swami, this verse means that when the demon will be deprived of his mace by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only the neophyte devotees, but also the ancient, sagacious devotees of the Lord would be very much satisfied. So I chose to just read this particular purport out of the chapter because this is the situation that we're living in. People are trying to be happy in godless ways. And even those who pay lip service again to believing in God, they don't really accept from authorized sources God's words, God's plan, what God wants us to do. They don't accept that. They just, God again is something they believe in that's out there. And maybe at the end of life they may have to see Him face to face to be judged. But for now, I do my own thing. And we see even the world leaders, they don't consult standard books of knowledge, God's wisdom, as given, for instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, when they have problems. No, they sit around round tables and just regurgitate the same old hackneyed plans that they've been trying since time immemorial. If we could just increase the economy, the gross domestic product, if we could just, you know, bring down the unemployment rate, if we could just do this, this, always looking for some material solution. But as one of our great sages in ISKCON once said, there are no material solutions to material problems, only spiritual solutions. You cannot solve material problems when you consult people who have material consciousness. In other words, the consciousness that creates the problem is not going to create the solution. And the consciousness that created the problems that we're suffering nowadays is this materialistic viewpoint of trying to find happiness, prosperity without God. Yeah, if you want to believe in God, that's okay. But in the meantime, this is our plan. We're going to develop this and do that, and no consultation with God at all. And therefore, we're in the problems that we're in. So this kind of mentality, as Prabhupada said here in his purport, has been extant or existing since time immemorial. It's not something new. All right, so we'll continue. Text 6. Although the Lord was pained by the shaft-like abusive words of the demon, he bore the pain. But seeing that the earth on the ends of his tusks was frightened, he rose out of the water just as an elephant emerges with his female companion when assailed by an alligator. The demon, who had golden hair on his head and fearful tusks, gave chase to the Lord while he was rising from the water, even as an alligator would chase an elephant. Roaring like thunder, he said, "Are you not ashamed of running away before a challenging adversary? There is nothing reproachable for shameless creatures." So he's really feeling his oats here. And a little later on, he's going to feel something else. 8. The Lord placed the earth within his sight on the surface of the water. So which water is being referred to here? Garbhodak Ocean. As we know, half of this universe is filled with water. We don't experience it from our viewpoint here on earth. Actually, you could be right now sitting with your head towards the Garbhodak Ocean. As we know, the earth planet is a sphere. And so wherever you could be, anywhere on that sphere in relation to the bottom of the universe, because gravity is holding you, you're not falling off, even if your head is pointing down. So, but we take it on, from the Shastric statements, that half of this universe is filled with water. So that's the water that's being referred to here. The Lord placed the earth within his sight on the surface of the water and transferred to her his own energy in the form of the ability to float on the water. While the enemy stood looking on, Brahma, the creator of the universe, extolled the Lord, and the other demigods rained flowers on him. Text 9. The demon, who had a wealth of ornaments, bangles, and beautiful golden armor on his body, chased the Lord from behind with a great mace. The Lord tolerated his piercing ill words, but in order to reply to him, he expressed his terrible anger. And then text 10, this is a verse that somewhere that I happened to memorize since time going back, and it's like the perfect beginning of a movie, if we make, ever make a movie about Varahadeva. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha, Satyam Vayam Bho Vanagocharam Riga Vismar Vidam Rigae Gramas Han Namrityu Pashay Patimuktasya Vira Vikattanam Tavagrinantya Bhadra. Personality of God had said, "Indeed, we are creatures of the jungle, and we're searching after hunting dogs like you. One who's free from the entanglement of death has no fear from the loose talk in which you're indulging, for you're bound up by the laws of death." So, Lord Vara is beginning to put him in his place. "Certainly," this is still Varaha speaking, "certainly we have stolen the charge of the inhabitants of Rasatala and have lost all shame. Although bitten by your powerful mace, I shall stay here in the water for some time, because having created enmity with a powerful enemy, I now have no place to go." 12. "You are supposed to be the commander of many foot soldiers, and now you may take prompt steps to overthrow us. Give up all your foolish talk and wipe out the cares of your kith and kin by slaying us. One may be proud, yet he does not deserve a seat in an assembly if he fails to fulfill his promised word." So now, Lord Vara is again insulting him in return. In other words, "You've promised to kill me, now keep your word." We know he can't. Sri Maitreya said, "The demon, being thus challenged by the personality of Godhead, became angry and agitated, and he trembled in anger like a challenged cobra. Hissing indignantly, all his senses shaken by wrath, the demon quickly sprang upon the Lord and dealt him a blow with his powerful mace." The Lord, however, by moving slightly aside, dodged the violent mace blow aimed at his breast by the enemy, just as an accomplished yogi would elude death. So this is the goal of yoga. The real goal is to elude death. All of this nose pressing and all that, that's fine for keeping your health. But if at the end you can't elude death, then what was all the use of, what's the use of all that? The personality of God had now exhibited his anger and rushed to meet the demon, who bit his lip in rage, took up his mace again, and began to repeatedly brandish it about. Then with his mace, the Lord struck the enemy on the right of his brow. But since the demon was expert in fighting, O gentle Vidura, he protected himself by a maneuver of his own mace. In this way, the demon Hiranyaksha and the Lord, the personality of God, had struck each other with their huge maces, each enraged and seeking his own victory. Actually, we should have that painting in here today, or at least a poster or something. It's Dharmaraj's appearance day. You know, we had at least a couple, that was painted at least a couple of times. I think maybe there are three paintings of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu and Lord Varaha fighting. There was keen rivalry between the two combatants. Both had sustained injuries on their bodies from the blows of each other's pointed maces, and each grew more and more enraged at the smell of blood on his person. In their eagerness to win, they performed maneuvers of various kinds, and their contest looked like an encounter between two forceful bulls for the sake of a cow. So somebody reading this may say, ah, how could he be God? He's bleeding. No, he's not bleeding. God doesn't have any blood. That's stated in Isha Upanishad. He doesn't have any veins. He doesn't have any blood. But for the sake of the pastime, just like we have here, Lord Nityananda, when he was struck by the pot of Jagai Madai, he appeared to be bleeding also. But that's just like when you go on a Hollywood set and the actors seem to be bleeding. It's fake blood. But the difference is, on the Hollywood set, there's some makeup artist who actually has to make that blood and apply it. But the Lord can supply his own fake blood. He doesn't need any makeup artist. He just appears to be bleeding. So, in their eagerness to win, they perform maneuvers of various kinds, and their contest looked like an encounter between two forceful bulls for the sake of a cow. O descendant of Kuru, Brahma, the most independent demigod of the universe, accompanied by his followers, came to see the terrible fight for the sake of the world between the demon and the personality of Godhead, who appeared in the form of a boar. After arriving at the place of combat, Brahma, the leader of thousands of sages and transcendentalists, saw the demon who had attained such unprecedented power that no one could fight with him. Brahma then addressed Narayan, who was assuming the form of a boar for the first time. Means first time in this Brahma's lifetime, but this form of a Ra is actually an eternal form of the Lord. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, this demon has proved to be a constant pinprick to the demigods, the brahmanas, the cows, and innocent persons who are spotless and always dependent upon worshipping your lotus feet. He has become a source of fear by unnecessarily harassing them. Since he has attained a boon from me, he has become a demon, always searching for a proper combatant, wandering all over the universe for his infamous purpose." Lord Brahma continued, "My dear Lord, there is no need to play with this serpentine demon, who is always very skilled in conjuring tricks and is arrogant, self-sufficient, and most wicked." Brahma continued, "My dear Lord, you are infallible. Please kill this sinful demon before the demoniac hour arrives and he presents another formidable approach favorable to him. You can kill him by your internal potency without doubt. My Lord, the darkest evening which covers the world is fast approaching. Since you are the soul of all souls, kindly kill him and win victory for the demigods." The auspicious period known as Abhijit, which is most opportune for victory, commenced at midday and has all but passed. Therefore, in the interest of your friends, please dispose of this formidable foe quickly. This demon, luckily for us, has come of his own accord to you. His death, ordained by you, therefore, exhibiting your ways, kill him in the duel and establish the worlds in peace. So that's the end of chapter 18, and then we'll go on to 19. The fight continues. Sri Maitreya said, after hearing the words of Brahma, the Creator, which were free from all sinful purposes and as sweet as nectar, the Lord heartily laughed and accepted his prayer with a glance laden with love. God is love, that's what they say. But to those who want to approach God in an inimical way, then God is death, as Hiranyaksha is going to find out. The Lord, who had appeared from the nostril of Brahma, sprang and aimed his mace at the chin of his enemy, the Hiranyaksha demon, who was stalking fearlessly before him. Struck by the demon's mace, however, the Lord's mace slipped from his hand and looked splendid as it fell down whirling. This was miraculous, for the mace was blazing wonderfully. Even though the demon had an excellent opportunity to strike his unarmed foe without obstruction, he respected the law of single combat, thereby kindling the fury of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord's mace fell to the ground and a cry of alarm arose from the witnessing crowd of gods and rishis, the personality of Godhead acknowledged the demon's love of righteousness and therefore invoked his Sudarshan discus. As the discus began to revolve in the Lord's hands and the Lord contended at close quarters with the chief of his Vaikuntha attendants, who had been born as Hiranyaksha, a vile son of Diti, there issued from every direction strange expressions uttered by those who were witnessing from airplanes. They had no knowledge of the Lord's reality, and they cried, may victory attend you. Pray dispatch him. Play no more with him. So as usual, Prabhupada points out whenever there's mention of airplanes in the Bhagavatam, that these airplanes, it's not a new phenomenon. They had airplanes thousands, millions of years ago. And much better airplanes, as we know, like with Kardama Muni. The airplane was actually a flying city with ponds and lakes and trees and flowers and birds. And so their airplanes, it's not like flying Air India, which is very, very bad. Last time I was on Air India, I flew from here to Frankfurt and Frankfurt to Delhi. So on the first leg, which is like a 10-hour flight, some kid was just wandering up and down the aisles. And the stewardesses would just, you know, scoot around him. And when I say kid, I mean it was probably about 2-3 years old. And then finally the kid barfed, threw up right next to my seat. And then the stewardesses, they just stepped over it and just kept going. So finally I had to say, come on, pick it up. You know, they just stepped over and just kept doing, you know. So these airplanes here are not like those airplanes. These are like, you know, wonderful creations with jewels and birds. And so continuing. When the demon saw the personality of Godhead, who had eyes just like lotus petals, standing in position before him, armed with his Sudarshan discus, his senses were overpowered by indignation. He began to hiss like a serpent, and he bit his lip in resentment. The demon, who had fearful tusks, stared at the personality of Godhead as though to burn him. Springing into the air, he aimed his mace at the Lord, exclaiming at the same time, you are slain! O saintly Vidura, while his enemy looked on, the Lord, in his boar form, the enjoyer of all sacrificial offerings, playfully knocked down the mace with his left foot, even as it came upon him with the force of a tempest. The Lord then said, take up your weapon and try again, eager as you are to conquer me. Challenged in these words, the demon aimed his mace at the Lord and once more loudly roared. When the Lord saw the mace flying toward him, he stood firmly where he was and caught it with the same ease as Garuda, the king of birds, would seize a serpent. His valor thus frustrated, the great demon felt humiliated and was put out of countenance. He was reluctant to take back the mace when it was offered by the personality of Godhead. He now took a trident, which was as rapacious as a flaming fire, and hurled it against the Lord, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, even as one would use penance for a malevolent purpose against a holy Brahmana. hurled by the mighty demon with all his strength, the flying trident shone brightly in the sky. The personality of Godhead, however, tore it to pieces with his discus, Sudarshan, which had a sharp-edged rim, even as Indra cut off a wing of Garuda. That's a long story. The demon was enraged when his trident was cut to pieces by the discus of the personality of Godhead. He therefore advanced toward the Lord and, roaring aloud, struck his hard fist against the Lord's broad chest, which bore the mark of Srivatsa. Then he went out of sight. Hit in this manner by the demon Ovidura, the Lord, who had appeared as the first boar, did not feel the least quaking in any part of his body, any more than an elephant would when struck with a wreath of flowers. The demon, however, employed many conjuring tricks against the personality of Godhead, who is the Lord of Yogamaya. At the sight of this, the people who were filled with alarm and thought that the dissolution of the universe was near. Fierce winds began to blow from all directions, spreading darkness occasioned by dust and hailstorms. Stones came in volleys from every corner as if thrown by machine guns. The luminaries in outer space disappeared due to the skies being overcast with masses of clouds, which were accompanied by lightning and thunder. The sky rained pus, hair, blood, stool, urine, and bones. O sinless Vidura, mountains discharged weapons of various kinds, and naked demonesses armed with tridents appeared with their hair hanging loose. Cruel and savage slogans were uttered by hosts of ruffian yakshas and rakshasas, who all either marched on foot or rode on horses, elephants, or chariots. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifices, now discharged his beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing the magical forces displayed by the demon. At that very moment, a shudder suddenly ran through the heart of Diti, the mother of Hiranyaksha. She recalled the words of her husband, Kashyapa, and blood flowed from her breast. When the demon saw his magic forces dispelled, he once again came into the presence of the personality of Godhead, Keshava, and full of rage, tried to embrace him within his arms to crush him. But to his great amazement, he found the Lord standing outside the circle of his arms. In other words, he put his arms on, and all of a sudden the Lord is over here. The demon now began to strike the Lord with his hard fists. But Lord Adokshaja slapped him in the root of the ear, even as Indra, the Lord of the Maruts, hit the demon Vritra. Though struck indifferently by the Lord, the conqueror of all, the demon's body began to wheel. His eyeballs bulged out of their sockets, his arms and legs broken, and the hair on his head scattered. He fell down dead, like a gigantic tree uprooted by the wind. Haribo! Haribo! Ajja, Brahma, and others arrived on the spot to see the fearfully tusked demon lying on the ground, biting his lip. The glow of his face was yet unfaded, and Brahma admiringly said, "Oh, who could meet such blessed death?" In other words, it's actually a benediction to be killed by God. It's not like getting run over by a bus or something. This is, you die at the hands of God, that's a glorious death. Brahma continued, "He was struck by a forefoot of the Lord, whom yogis, seeking freedom from their unreal material bodies, meditate upon in seclusion and mystic trance. While gazing on his countenance, this crest jewel of Diti's son has cast off his mortal coil." Shivarahadev ki jai. Kansaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Hari Hari Bol.
First of all, Krishna incarnates in every species of life. But in this particular instance, the earth had been thrown into the bottom of the Garbhodak Ocean. You can imagine what the bottom of the ocean is like. Muddy. So he assumed the form of, because a boar naturally has the ability to root around and stuff. So he took on this metal form so you can root around and find it what you want to bring it back to. Everything that Krishna does has great meaning, great significance. So, Jai, how are you going? Are you staying in the ashram now?
Yes.
Okay. And then what? Are you still in school?
No, I graduated.
That's what I thought. So what are you doing? You mean outside of the Krishna consciousness movement, you have an opportunity to teach, or is it
just a regular school? Oh,
regular.
Like an English.
Oh, that's great.
So I don't know yet. I don't know what Krishna wants me to do, because I've had this, I don't know. I think when I go to India, I'll be
Yeah, I think very clear.